This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 44, where I talk with Jerry about her poem, Truly Alone. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, my name's Jerry, and I'm going to be reading my poem, Truly Alone. I've learned what it means to be lonely. Staring at my phone screen, letters all in blue, silently begging for a reply. Seeing a group of shiny, happy people dancing through the streets on my own feet become heavier and heavier. To have a full stomach, an empty plate, but still hungering for something more. Sitting in my room while the sounds of the TV come cascading over me in blue waves. Trekking to the suburbs, letting the wind turn my skin pale, because at least it'll keep me company.
Ooh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
I read this during the Writing with Ruben workshop, right? You were there. He was talking about something that you learned during the pandemic and this feeling of really having to struggle and having loneliness. That came to me the most. I don't think I've ever really known what it was like to be truly lonely or truly upset before the pandemic. And I was like, you know, that's a good thing that I could write about. I have a lot to write about that. So that's how it started.
I think that feeling truly lonely is definitely something that a lot of people can relate to. In the early days of the pandemic, it was pretty crazy. It felt like this is just something that, you know, we're all struggling and we're kind of going through it together, but like there's no way to like connect over it.
Yeah,
like, definitely. You can text people and email them all you want, but it's never going to be the same kind of connection as like being in person with them.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Like, you know, we're all going through it. We all went through it, but do still your own struggles, everyone's personal thing that you had to go through.
Yeah, exactly. So what was it like writing this during a workshop, you know, based on a prompt and having a time limit, that kind of thing?
It was actually easier than I thought. I usually don't like working with prompts and stuff like that. I usually just like to let myself free write. And I thought it was going to be hard to have to use a prompt and stuff like that, have to use the subject that he gave us. But it actually helped a lot. I think having that time limit like forced me to come up with something creative, I guess, in a way. It forced me to like sit down and be like, I have to write this. And I think it came out well. So it's better than I thought.
Mm-hmm. I think it's cool to see how people with the same prompt write so differently because, you know, I was at that workshop too. I had the same prompt. I can't remember what I wrote about. I'm not sure, but I'm sure it's totally different from what you wrote about. So it's cool to see how like, we have the same starting point, but we converge in such different directions.
Yes, I totally agree with that, especially with the challenges that we do in YWP. It's so cool to see like people write totally different things for the exact same challenge with the exact same prompt. And it's like really cool, like get so creative. Like everyone has their own things that they relate to that. And it's pretty cool to see like everyone's different ideas.
Yeah. So I love so many lines in this piece, especially the opening line. I have learned what it means to be lonely. I feel like that's such a powerful start.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that was literally what was in my head. I was like, that's what I've learned over the pandemic. That's what this poem was about. That's the subject of it. It should be the first thing.
Mm-hmm. Staring at my phone screen, letters all in blue, silently begging for reply. I felt that and like just waiting for those dots to like appear in gray and like, you know, just waiting for someone to write back mm-hmm. and waiting for that connection, but knowing it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, definitely. I was trying to think of a creative way to say instead of like waiting for a response. And I think everyone, you know, everyone who has an Apple phone gets that, like you writing your blue letters and waiting for someone to respond. So that's something that I definitely felt like even my close friends, like we always used to talk all the time and now I'm just staring at my phone, just like waiting for them to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. And then also like if someone has on their red messages, so like, you know that they read what you sent to them, but they're still not replying.
Yeah. That's definitely the worst. It's like they read it.
It's very upsetting.
It is the worst. Like they read it like an hour ago, but why haven't they responded to me? Yeah.
So another line that I think is really cool is seeing a group of shiny, happy people dancing through the streets while my own feet become heavier and heavier. And what's cool about this is that the words heavier and heavier are spaced out with one letter in each line. How did you kind of choose to format it like that?
So at least for the shiny, happy people, it's actually inspired by a song. I think it's by Rem. They're like a 90s band or something. And I was into that song. I was thinking about it. It was very upbeat, very happy. And I was thinking about a memory I had where I was downtown and there are all these like, there's a big group of friends and they come from the game or something. And usually that would make me happy, be like, oh, look, there's like all these like sweet friends like hang out together. And it just made me like sad. I was like, I miss my friends. Like, I wish that was me with my friends. Instead, I'm like wearing my mask and missing them. And I thought of that as in my own feet, like becoming heavier and heavier as the words are like declining. It's hard to hold them up, you know, like as I was walking, felt like my own feet. I couldn't, it was too hard to walk. It was painful to see those people.
Yeah, like you're trying to walk through water or something.
Mm-hmm.
Being, like, yeah. Tugged back. I think it's such a cool metaphor. And like the formatting really adds a different meaning to the visual like interpretation of it, because it's one thing to hear it read aloud and like you wouldn't pick up on it, but to see it like spaced out and formatted, it's really interesting. And mm-hmm. I've been playing around with formatting in my poems recently. My latest one that I posted in YWP is, I think it was Wrinkled, but it's a totally different form than what I usually do. And like little phrases are set off by like a couple of spaces. Like I just hit the tab key whenever I felt like the phrase was finished. And so it's this really interesting form where it's like kind of a block of words, but like with little spaces in between. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find a term for it. I don't think there's one specific like name for that kind of form, but I found like white space poems or open form poems where kind of you use the white space on the page to be like a part of the poem.
Yeah. Yeah. I've read some poems like that. In English, we did a lot of those, like, or poems that like, if it's right about a bird, you know, like the words make a bird or like waves or something like that. I think those are really cool because it makes the poem like, it makes it more fun to read. It makes it more interesting to read. And it definitely gives it more, you know, more symbolism if you make it like that.
Yeah, and it's really fun to do too and see how like it kind of, I feel like it makes the poem seem kind of breathless and like there's only a tiny bit of space before you go into the next moment and the next idea and the next thought. And so like playing around with kind of when you would take a breath when you're reading it out loud too. That's something that I'm trying to be more conscious of, is like what this sounds like when I read it out loud and how I want it to like break up and stuff. And then of course someone else reads my poem and I'm like, no, that's not how you read it.
Yeah, same about being like more conscious about that. I feel like when I used to write poems, like I don't know about like a standard way, you know, like you have three lines in a stanza, next stanza, next stanza. So, you know, trying to like break things up differently, like do I want this to be more pronounced? Like, do I put a period there? Do I not put a period there? Like, do I put like two gaps instead of three gaps? Like, I agree with you. I'm trying to figure out like, how can I make it as powerful as possible and like change up the formatting from what like your basic poem is.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have used stanzas in my poetry in several years. It's been a while since I've done that because I feel like I'm just more drawn to like a prose kind of look now. I did a lot of prose poetry in the past few months. I didn't post that much of it, but I was really into that kind of form. Now I'm very much enjoying my new discovered form because it's always fun when I find a new way of like putting my thoughts on paper and then seeing like, oh, how else can I do this? But it's really interesting because I used to do that too, do like very short lines or just like no more than three words on each line. But now I'm like all the words on one line. So it's interesting to see how like even the formatting of my poem changes, and like it seems like it's insignificant, but it really does make a difference.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Like for me, it's almost the opposite. When I was younger, maybe it's because most of my poems are very like rambling. They're kind of just me like writing a bunch of words on a page, like in a paragraph. But trying to like change format and try different things, writing more essays. Like, I feel like I never used to write like poetic essays and anything like that before, like writing more nonfiction and stuff. Like, it's cool to see how your poems evolve over the years. Like, I keep a lot of my old stuff and it's like, whoa, I was like, I don't know, 10 writing this. And now it's like really changed. Like, I've really changed my style, the way I write.
Yeah, I found a little mini notebook that I used to carry around all the time when I was like 12, and I'd bring it to my friend's house and we had sleepovers, and I like write poetry and be really moody and stuff. And I was like, my style has changed a bit, but not a lot. The content is still pretty much the same. Me being upset about someone or something and turning it into like a sad love poem. I think that's like my only genre. I've discovered that I can't do anything else. So it's interesting to see how a lot of it is the same, but a lot of it is different. I think I used to be a lot more cliche, a lot more rhymey, a lot more like clean ending. Now I'm fine just leaving it off the middle of the sentence because I'm like, it's poetry. But when I was younger, I thought it really did have to be like a typical period, uppercase letters, comma, that kind of thing.
Yeah, same with me. Like, I feel like the more you write, you can start to like experiment with things more, you know, like you can kind of change it up, decide what you want to do it, or like, yeah, like if you think it's done, just like have it done, like have the poem just end it. You don't have to put a period, don't have to put a comma, like you don't have to put any of that thing, like yeah, I think that's really cool.
I was sitting in my bed the other night and I was writing just like a free write. I don't do that often, but I was like, my thoughts are just all over the place right now. I guess I'll just put them all down. And I wrote 2 full pages and it goes in so many different directions. It started off as a poem, but then it just became like a mind dump. So I have to go through and see what I like, but I think it's really interesting how I went off in so many different areas and then kind of came back to the same idea. And also, I wanted to post a picture of it on my WP actually, because I think it would be cool to see how people like write poems on paper and then like go through and edit them or like cross out words and like add little lines in the margins, because I always do that. So I think it'd be fun to see how different people do that. And I kind of want to post mine now.
Yeah, that would definitely be fun. Like to see like the before, like the rough draft with all this stuff going on, and like to see them the clean, like computerized version of it. Cause I know definitely when I'm writing my poems in the journal, like yeesh, is all these erase marks and like different things. I'm like, I'm chopping off this stanza and I'm moving this and I'm doing that. So that would be interesting. Yeah, to see like what other people, how do people edit? How do people do stuff like that? I never used to like edit my poems at all. I feel like I would just, again, like just write it, like stanza, stanza, and I'd be done. But now I edit them a lot more. I put a lot more like research and stuff into them.
Yeah, me too. I didn't really think that editing was a thing. I thought it was just like, however I write it, that's what it is. But now I'm very particular. So I want to go get my notebook because I want to show you. But this is what it looks like. This actually isn't that edited, but like all these things in the margins and all these things crossed out. And yeah, it's just interesting because I feel like I go to so many different places and a lot of them are like ideas from previous poems that I'm just trying to like work into it. What did I say? I'll give you an example. Oh, another thing that I was doing in this poem in particular was putting like the same word together multiple times in like one word. Like so is one word. While my eyes are closed under the periwinkle sky is like all one word. And then the sky is a giant swimming pool with a never-ending edge goes right into like, I can't understand why we all chase after impossible dreams. So very interesting to see how I wrote that. But I definitely want to go through because I liked a lot of it.
I remember, again, during the pandemic, when I had so many like words inside my head, I kind of do what you did there. Like I would start like journaling and then somehow I'd start talking about school. And then by the end, I would like end with something like poetic about moving or something like that. Like I kind of just need to like release all this stuff that I had inside my brain and go back and see like, what was I thinking? Like, what can I make this into a poem? Like, how'd I take my like rambled thoughts and like actually make them into something good?
I do prefer writing on my computer because I can get my thoughts out a lot faster. But the sad thing about that is that I can't see like where I started and where I ended up. like I can on actual paper. And I feel like that's a really rewarding thing to see, that like I started off as a not so great poem, like a mess, and then now it's neat and it's pretty and I really like it. So I think it's cool to see like the physical process of it.
Yeah, I think there was like a YWP like questionnaire about like, yeah, computers or like paper. I'm definitely a paper person, like all the way. I feel like my thoughts just don't flow as well on the computer. Like if I'm like making a poem at first, like I just have to like write it all out, like let my thoughts flow. But if I'm gonna write like a story or something, obviously like computer's a lot easier. If I'm gonna write like 5 pages, my hand would start cramping to try to do that. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, me too. I think if I'm already at my computer, I'll just write it on my computer. But if I'm not near it, then I will use paper. But I like computer. I type really fast too, so it's easy for me to get my thoughts out. But anyway, tangent. So another line from your poem: to have a full stomach and empty plate, but still be hungering for something more. What was your inspiration for this? I feel like it's so beautiful and it can be related to a lot of different emotions.
So I was thinking about like a lot of times I'd be on the dinner table kind of and I'd eat, but I'd still just feel bad. Like I'd eat and I'd be sitting at my like chair, just staring at my plate and like, ugh, you know? So I try to think of that as like, you know, you're talking about eating, empty plate, full stomach, and then the hungering part. Like the food is not what I need to satisfy me. Even though I've eaten dinner and even though I've talked with my family and all that, like I still am just sitting there wishing, like still feeling hungry for something that I can't get from just eating dinner.
Yeah, I think it's a really great metaphor. It can really be used for a lot of things, like, you know, feeling hungry for a different kind of food or not really feeling like that's what you want to give your body, or being hungry for some kind of love in a relationship, or being hungry for a career path or whatever. I mean, there are so many different ways of interpreting it. And I think that it's really nice to have that kind of open to interpretation line in your work.
Yeah. The idea of just hungering from something. I feel like I love that use of that word, hungering. It's like, it's deep. It's primal. It's really like you're really hungering for something, you really want it, you really need it. And like even though you might have like on the surface like a full stomach, empty plate, what you need on the surface, like inside you're still missing something.
Oh, I love that description of it. It's such a like satisfying thing to have people like talk about words. I don't know, maybe it's just a me thing or maybe just a writer thing, but I just love talking about like the feeling that you get from words.
And I get words, yeah. Like, yeah, I think you talked about the phonesthetics. Like,
yeah, we just talked about it.
Like specific words that like, they're really, like, they mean something. They're different from other words. Like they're special. Like when you talk about them, it's like, especially when you find that perfect word that you're looking for in a poem, it's like, oh, it's a perfect word. That's exactly what I was using to describe what I needed. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, there are some words in my poems that like, I love, or I'm like, that is the worst way of describing it. And some of them that have like a bunch of different meanings, like in one of my poems, I can't remember what I called it because I had like two different titles, but something about like running fast against the yielding pavement, and how like that can be like the pavement's wet because it's raining and so like your feet kind of squish into it, and yielding like a yield sign in driving. Yeah. And like there are all these different meanings and like metaphors that you can get from it, and like giving into something, and like it's just so cool to me how like words just words
words, yeah. In my recent poems I've been using a thesaurus a lot more. I do that a lot because I'm like, I want to find more interesting words. Like I don't want to just say I went somewhere. Like how do I change that? And it's helped a lot for me personally, like going to thesaurus and just figuring out what's a better word for this, what's more interesting. And I feel like it really changes a poem. Like you can tell the difference when like a poem and someone really thought of the words, someone put effort into like finding the right one.
Yeah, I was really into my thesaurus and dictionary when I was younger. Actually, I was really nerdy. I used to collect dictionaries. that was a phase of my life, but I had this really nice one that I don't know how old it was because my family had it for a really long time, but I don't know where it is now. It has this like red cover. It's really thick and the pages are really thin. like Bible page thin, very, very thin. And in the back, they have a bunch of names for like, I guess just people and like meanings of the names. And that's where I would go for when I wanted to name characters in my stories. And I would just spend so much time going through the sections and reading the names over and over again and thinking like, this is what I'm going to name my future kids. This is what I'm going to name my characters. And they're going to be famous and stuff. And like, that was just such a part of me when I was like, I don't know, middle schoolish, just like loving words and loving my dictionary and thesaurus. And like, I think that's really when I got into poetry too, when I started to take it more seriously.
Yeah, like when you're talking about the names, like I don't relate to you like on trying to find like the perfect names for things. I always struggle with my titles on my poems. Like I always write the poem first, then I'm like waiting like 10 minutes, like what should I write, like what should I use as a title, like I don't know how, like if someone was to read this title, like what would they think of my poem? And like, I mean, names have meaning, like they have a lot of strength, you know, like especially like people, like you're like everyone's names, like, you know, like if they mean something, like how do they reflect on you? Like I remember at a time when I was in middle school, I would look up like all my friends' names, like I mean on like a regular basis to see like what they meant. And I'd be like, oh, this person means this, like this, how do they relate to their personality? It's like they're definitely like that in real life. So yeah.
Oh, me too. I was obsessed with that and like finding out how, like, kind of almost like a conspiracy theory for like how my name describes me. Mm-hmm. It was like really fun to do that. I feel like that very much fits in with like the magazine quizzes or like those fortune teller things that I used to make when I was younger. Same kind of genre. But yeah, the thing about titles of poems, I'm very strongly opposed to naming the titles of my poems after a line that I already used in the poem. Mm. So like if it's about bluebirds and I say bluebird in the poem, I will not title the poem bluebird. I don't know why. It just freaks me out. Very opposed to it. I'll use like a variation of a word, but like not the exact word or the exact phrase. I think it maybe just came from like me not liking repetition and me trying to be like very unique with each line. But I do not like it anymore.
I'm kind of the same way, like not too against it, but usually I don't use like the line for my poem. I like sometimes though, like having the title be the first line, you know, like first line is the title and then it goes into it, you know, that kind of makes you pay more attention to the title and it kind of like starts it off with a bang a little bit. Titles are hard though. Takes me forever really to very rarely. Like my dad, he writes stuff too, like more essays though, like medical essays and stuff, but he's the dad opposite. He always thinks of titles first, always thinks of names first. And I'm like, no, I need to write the whole thing first before I can think of any names, any titles.
It's such a process. It changes so much for me. Like while writing something, it's going to be so different. And like, I don't think I've ever come up with a title before I write a poem. I think I definitely need to know how it turns out, but I love having the title as the first line. I feel like it flows together so nicely and it's really unique and like it really stands out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like kind of makes it stand out a little bit and there's no like break between the title and the poem. It just like flows into it. Like as if it's just going to be like spoken word almost, like you don't stop. You just kind of just go into the poem, like straight from the title, like straight from the get-go.
Spoken word is such a beautiful thing. I always talk about how incredible it is. I'm so like awed by how people read their work like in such a cool way. Like, I don't know. It feels like it's so much more powerful when they read it like and it's memorized and they're not like looking down at their paper or whatever. Like, I could never memorize. I got a terrible memory, but like, it's just so cool. And like, they know it by heart and they're so passionate about it. I really miss going to in-person open mics. I wish I could go to more soon. I know we're going to be hopefully having more of Snap open mics, but online for now, which is great because we have people join from all different places. But I wish we could do it in person and just have every young writer from the entire world come.
Definitely spoken word. Like I definitely like in the last, I think since I've joined YWP, I've been more into spoken word. Like BL Sweater talked about button poetry a lot and I was like, oh, I should try this out. And it's so cool. You're right. It's like, it's so almost, it's almost more powerful when someone says it like out loud, like how we're talking about how the poem's supposed to sound. Like it's so much more powerful when they just speak it out loud, and like you feel, so it's like emotional, you know, like the way that someone says it, like you can hear their emotions, like in their voice, how you can see the memories, like you're part of their story, like sometimes more than if you're just to listen to it. It's really powerful, definitely. I don't know if I could ever do spoken word, because like that's hard to go up there to a microphone. It's so brave, you know, even if it's like maybe not the best poem, like you went up to a microphone to talk about your emotions, like that's really hard.
I agree completely. It's like they're, the poem is like alive in them. Oh, it's just, it's so cool to me. But yeah. Anyway, you mentioned YWP, which leads me to my next question, which is, how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
So I was just looking up online, like places to put my poetry, because I've written a lot, but I was like kind of scared to put it out there. Like I didn't find any place so far like to put it out there. And I was like searching up, but I found YWP, looked interesting. Like I loved all the poems that are on it and everything like that. I was talking to my mom. It's like, oh, it looks cool. Looks interesting. So then made an account and now I love it. And as far as how it works in my life, I think it's given me a lot more inspiration, definitely. Like, I was never, like, a really, like, a reader of poetry, I guess. But now like, I can go every day and see, like, what have people written? Like, what have people drawn? Like, what have people seen? Like, it's really nice to just get feedback on things, like workshops, you know, tiny writes. Like, just, like, a bunch of other people who also love writing as much as me and who are also my age. It's, like, every day I feel like I go on, I'm like, oh my god, like people are so talented, like it's my age or like a little older than me and making like such amazing stuff. So it's definitely, I get a lot of inspiration. I love it.
I completely agree with everything. I second it all. It's such a great space. I've been on, I think this is like 5 years or 6 years. It's been a long time. I'm getting old. But it's just, it's so nice. I love it so much. Like line break itself is just so amazing to have on YWP. I'm so glad that I've been able to post so many episodes. We're nearing the 50th episode. It's making me slightly emotional just because I feel like it's so crazy that I've made 50 episodes of a podcast, pretty much 50, with YWP, and like talked with so many different people about their writing. And I think it's such a confidence booster for so many people. And I'm so glad that I was able to kind of get their voices heard out there and like shared with so many people.
Yeah, like definitely, like the idea of like share with other people. Like I would only write my poems like in a journal, like I never really show them to anyone, you know. And like, you know, it's different when it's like you show them to your family and like they all like it, your mom says it's good, you know. But it's really cool to like go on and put out poetry, whether it's like good or bad, and just see what people think about it. Like I think it's really great. And it's made me more confident too. Like before I was like too scared, like, is it going to be good or not? And like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, I should just put it out there and see what people think. And usually it's good. So.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Like I share poetry with my family and they're like, I love it so much. I'm like, of course you do. You're not going to tell me that you hate it.
Yeah.
But it's another thing, like sharing it with other people and like teachers and mentors and like whole communities, it's kind of a scary thing. And I think it's really nice that so many people can be accepted and like supported in their communities and like know that, you know, when you share this thing that's really close to you, you're not going to be criticized for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like YWP, like no one ever has a bad thing to say about it. No one ever has anything like negative or anything, you know. Maybe if it's not your best, like everyone will still like really support you. And like, and I love tiny writes. That's probably one of my favorite things. Like tiny writes is just so fun. Like just talk about random things, and questionnaires are the most fun. Group homes, I like that a lot.
Me too. It's so much fun. So back to your poem for a second, since we got off topic. Your ending, trekking through the suburbs, letting the wind turn my skin pale, because at least it will keep me company. How did you decide on this as an ending?
So I was thinking about again, this like loneliness. Like a lot of times I just go out and walk. Like it'd be cold, it'd be the winter, but I didn't really have anything better inside to do. So I just go out and walk, and my skin would always get all pale and dry, but it's like that's all I have left, I guess, in that sense. Like that was all I had left. Like at least the wind would keep me company in my loneliness. I think about this Emily Dickinson poem. It was like, but I think I'd be lonelier without my loneliness. It's like at that point, like her loneliness is like what's keeping her company. It's what she has left. So after I wrote this, like I was like, wow, like I it's like one of those things, like I didn't realize like how much I feel like I related to it, like how much that was, how like lonely I guess I was in that time until I put it down. I was like, okay, like I think that should be the ending. Like that's deep. So I should put that at the end.
Yeah, I love Emily Dickinson. Her work is just incredible. I have a bunch of her poems on my wall behind me. It's so cool how she wrote about feelings like loneliness and death and stuff and life, because, you know, it was from several years ago and like a while ago, but a lot of it is universal. And so like these themes of loneliness, like when she was writing about it in the 1800s, 1900s, whenever it was, it was about her specific life and her specific experiences. And she was very closed off, and she lived on her own and she didn't really like other people, but that was like her chosen solitude. But now with the pandemic, it's like, it's our forced solitude. So like we have the same experiences, but we're not choosing to live like this. So very, very interesting to me.
Yeah. Definitely, I like the idea of like forced solitude, you know, is a big difference, like a really big difference between choosing to be inside and being forced to be inside. And like, it's not a choice at all. Like it really forces you to just like stay by yourself. It makes you like lonely. It makes you by yourself. And I like what you're talking about, you know, it's cool to see these poems are written so long ago by these older poets that you can still relate to, like about sadness, about love, about all these emotions, about freedom. Like maybe the circumstances are different, or maybe like it's not the exact same, but I can still read them and be like, wow, like it means something. And that's like so cool about poetry. Like it's timeless. Like it doesn't go out of fashion or anything. Like you can always go back and see other people's poems, or poems in the future will be written and they can still relate to what we wrote back like now.
Yeah, the timeless aspect is so cool to me. And there's one poem that I have, Edna St. Vincent Millay. She wrote mid-1900s maybe. I'm not good at estimating times, but it's Dirge Without Music. It's a beautiful poem about grief and like losing someone, and the ending that I am not resigned to the shutting away of loving hearts in the hard ground. That's the beginning line. And it's just, the whole poem is so beautiful and so universal, like feelings of grief and loss. And like, that's never going to be specific to one time period. Like everyone's going to go through that. So like, whether it's 1800s, 1900s, 3000s, whatever the year is, it's always going to mean something to you. And I think that, like you said, that's what's so cool about poetry, is that, you know, it's not so time specific. Like novels can be time specific based on the stories. But like poetry, it always hits you no matter when you're reading it or who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. I've been reading some like Langston Hughes recently, and like there was a lot of things going on during his time, like the 20s, like all like the racial tension he talks about in his poems too. But even though maybe I can't think about stuff like that in the same perspective, like I still relate to his poems. Like I still read them, I'm like, wow, like that's deep, or like, wow, like I still feel that. Like, so I think with music too, like a lot of music was inspired by like political things are happening at the time, but when you listen to them, you still understand them, you know, like statues, like photographs, art just in general. Like you can look at a painting back then and you still like feel what they're feeling, and the message still comes across even though it's like 100 years later.
Yeah, I get that about like songs having a kind of political meaning and not really picking up on it. There's this one song that was actually popular on TikTok, but I found it on Spotify. I can't remember what it's called, but I thought it was just like a really cool kind of like villainy slash main character vibe song that's like sad and you cry to it. But it turns out it was actually about like a political thing and I had no idea. Matt Maltese, I can't remember what it's called. I have 400 like songs on my Spotify account, so this could take a minute. As the World Caves In. I'm sure that people have probably heard it on TikTok, but it's just so incredible. And I like how, you know, it does have a specific meaning to the person who created it, but to the people who consume it, it just means to them what they pick up on it. Mm-hmm. Sort of. If that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely, I kind of agree with you. Like, listening to songs and maybe not until like later or reading about somewhere, like what it really means. So there's a lot of political ones. Like, I listen to a song and then I'm like, oh, wow, like the lyrics are actually like a lot deeper or like sounds like a lot sadder too. And like sometimes it makes a song better because I'm like, oh, wow, like I can see the new lives and it makes it like worse. I'm like, oh, no, that's so sad. Like, I can't like bop my head to this anymore. Like, that's a little sad to listen to. But, yeah, definitely. Even if you don't, even before I, like, even when I didn't know what the song was really about, like, I still liked it. Like, I could still relate to it. And, like, it takes on a different meaning, like, once you really can, like, hear what it's about, you know, like, figure out the meaning behind the lyrics.
Yeah. So, some other questions now. How did you first become interested in writing?
How did I first become interested in writing? I've always, like, really loved to read. I feel like in order to be a good writer, well, at least most good writers love to read. And I've like always loved to read, like ever since I was like really little, I always loved to read books. I finished the Harry Potter series when I was in second grade. I don't think I even understood like half of what I was reading, but I was like really, I always been really crazy about reading. And I think it was like late elementary school more when I started to like actually like write poems and write stuff, and like I'd be like, oh, like it's kind of good, like I would write them for school and things, and I was like, you know, I'm actually kind of good at this, like it's actually kind of fun, and I'm actually a little bit good at it. And then I think it was more like sixth grade and last year when I would really start writing them down in journals, like making like short stories and putting them on computer and writing poetry and things like that, sharing them, I guess, out loud for just whatever reasons, or writing them like just for fun. Before I was always like, you know, do it for school, but I think that was when I started to like really like dive deep into poetry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool how you were so into reading and stuff. I was really into reading when I was younger. I would read like at least 2 books a day. I'd read so much. I went through my library's book collection so quickly. And I recently went to the library for the first time in basically 2 years, and I was disturbed. It was upsetting the way, because it's a new location that they just opened, and they organized it so weirdly. They had one, like a huge loft that was dedicated to YA books, and there were like 15 books on the shelf. And I was like, this cannot be all the YA books that they have. I have like 10 times more than this, and I'm not a library. And so then I was like, okay, I'll look in the adult section. All the YA books are mixed in with the adult books, even though there's a loft specifically meant for YA books. So it bothers me. And then the last names for the fiction section goes in like a zigzag. So you have to run all over the place. And there's biographies in the middle of it. So I wasn't having it. I was quite upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going libraries are like such a special place. I feel like, I mean, I probably sound like such a nerd saying that, but just I would haunt libraries when I was younger, like reading love books like so fast, and like always going back to libraries getting like 6 books at a time. I still do now, like getting all these books. And something like special like about libraries and bookstores, just like you walk in, it's like, ah, like just this, all these books, like it's one place just meant for stories and books. And I don't think I really ever quite figured out like the Dewey Decimal System. Like, I don't really understand that like at all. I don't think you could tell me to find a book with that. I could probably not find it, but there's something special about like just going to a library and getting books. And that's another thing that was taken away during the pandemic. Like, I couldn't go to the library. I couldn't get my books. I had to order them online and then pick them up from my car. Like all these like special like community things that we could have had to keep us comforted, like they're all taken away, like they're all gone.
Yeah, I was so upset about having to do curbside pickups. I never did it during the pandemic, so that was literally my first time getting books from the library in 2 years. But you would have to tell them what you wanted beforehand so that they could put it in a bag and bring it out, or they would surprise you. And I did not like that, because part of the joy for me of going to the library is browsing and finding something new that I haven't ever heard of, or something that I want to like really dive into. And it's upsetting again to like not have access to those books as easily as I did before. So I went through my own collection of books a lot. I bought a bunch of books. I've been buying books pretty much obsessively. I went to little free libraries all the time. I haunt those like you haunt libraries. I will stalk little free libraries until I find something good, because there's a bunch of them in Burlington. There's like 10 of them within a couple of miles, and it's just so fun to go to all of them and find new books and stuff. But anyway, speaking of books, you mentioned Harry Potter. What other books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
I've been reading a lot of Marcus Zusak recently, like The Book Thief.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, so good. So good.
Yes. I Am the Messenger, Bridge of Clay. Like, he is just so good. Like, he's so inspirational in terms of like writing a novel, like poetry. Like, his books are novels, but then they're just so poetic. Like, the way he talks about like words dripping onto concrete, or like spilling out of his mouth, like these like specific things, like death as a narrator, you know, like he's so specific about his word choice and the novels. And like, I read them and I'm like, it's a story, but it's like a poem at the same time. Like, he's definitely one of the writers, so I'm trying to like be more like, be like, look at his words and like, how can I like make my words look like him. Also Nicola Yoon, I don't know if you, The Sun Is Also a Star.
Yes, yes. Everything. Oh,
ooh. I love that so much. I own the book, I've watched the movie. Like, that book is one of my favorite books. Like, I love the way like she writes romance books, but they're not only like romance, they're also just like about life. They're like about just life and things in general. Again, like poetry, she talks about like science and art. Like, I want to write more like her, find characters and settings that are like, so they like, they really, you really remember them. And The Sun Is Also a Star, like, I come back to that all the time. Like, it's, she's definitely one of the main authors. So I'm like, I want to write like her. I want to write like so bad like her.
Yes. And in the same vein, Jandy Nelson, I don't know if you know her writing, which is I'll Give You the Sun and The Sky Is Everywhere. Yes.
I'll Give You the Sun. I've read that one.
I am a stan of Jandy Nelson. I love her. I wish that she would write more. I know that she has a busy life. I know that she can't just write books specifically for me to read, but I wish that she would, because her writing is like that too, where it's so vivid and it's like poetry when it really is just a novel. And like the descriptions specifically, and like I'll Give You the Sun, because one of the characters is an artist, and like the way that he sees the world is just incredible. It's impeccable. Chef's kiss. I love it.
Yes. Like, the way you can write characters, and like, I feel like that's something I always struggle with, like getting characters to like be their own person, like outside of the pages. I don't know. Keeper of the Lost Cities. Have you ever read those books?
What is it?
Keeper of the Lost Cities.
Oh, no, I haven't heard it. Mm. I've heard of it.
She does like the same thing. Like, her characters like are so, they come to life so much, all of his own attitudes and like own way of they act and the way they are. And it's like, definitely like I struggle with that, trying to write like characters that really have their own personalities, like they have their own memories. And you know, like, you always talk about Harry or Hermione like as they're their own pure people, like they're like real people that have like walked the earth. Like, definitely, like, that's something I trying to work on. I'm making my characters like really like come to life outside of the page.
Mm-hmm. I think that reading, it really is the best way to be a good writer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like not by mimicking someone else, but by learning, like, you like finding what you like in what someone else has written and then taking inspiration from it for your own writing, I think is a really great tool for developing your writing and your voice as a writer. Hey everyone, it's Iris. Just popping in real quick to explain why this episode cut off. My Zoom meeting stopped recording, so unfortunately I lost the last few minutes of my discussion with Jerry today, but we agreed that YWP is amazing, so is writing, and yeah, it was a great conversation. So thank you for listening to episode 44, and stay tuned for episode 45. Bye!